Well, some of us are surviving without our wives, and it's not much fun, is it, lads? Oh, it's hard work. They've arrived in the Philippines safely. You'll be glad to know Margaret and the girls are having a good time. Well, I don't know what time they're having, to be honest. We haven't heard that much, but they've arrived. I'm sure they're having a good time. And it's hard being on your own. I'm used to being on my own away from Margaret abroad, which I've realised is totally different. You're sort of preaching a couple of times a day and praying all the time. But then when you're here and she's not here, it's really weird. Well, she left on the Friday morning. I went to Tesco. I met the kids in Tesco on the Friday evening. I stood in the middle of Tesco and thought, what do you do? And this kid, the big kids met me and I, the little kids, they said, Dad, what's the plan? Honestly, I had a complete mental meltdown. I thought, what have I been trained to do? Nothing. Hilarious. So anyway, I said, okay, here's the plan. Go around Tesco, find everything that looks good, and get it in the basket. So then we were going past through the checkout, and it was like sweets, chocolate, crisps. The woman was looking at me like she was going to ring social services. Coke. What's the F word? Yeah, no fruit. Hilarious. Anyway, so they're having a good time. We'll keep praying for them, and we will have a good time. And it's hard being apart from someone who you're used to being with. It must be terrible for some of you who've lost your partners, people who, husbands and wives have died. But there's someone who we never have to be without, and that's the Holy Spirit. The wonderful Holy Spirit, the dear Holy Spirit, who's with us all the time, no matter what happens. Esther's absolutely right there. God's with you in that period of your life, which is a beautiful period of your life. God wouldn't miss that. God invented family life. And when she's cleaning the bathroom, the Holy Spirit's with her. No, he actually is. He really is with her. He really is with you all the time. No matter what you feel, no matter what you are going through, the Holy Spirit is with you every single day. And I'm going to show you today, this is the key to joy and victory and success in your life. And actually, the key is in your hands and my hand, and it's prayer. It's to do with praying. You can have anything you want. Did you hear that scripture that Esther read? Look, God's give his son. And Paul just argues the logic from that. Look, if he's give us Jesus, which is like everything, in him and with him, you can get everything. You think he's going to hold anything else back from you? He isn't. You are able to access God and the goodness of God for your life by prayer, by seeking and asking. Everyone who's done anything for God, everyone prayed. Everyone. Even Jesus, who did great things for his Father, prayed. Jesus prayed regularly. He got up early and went out and prayed to find out what he should be doing next. When you pray, you find out what you should be doing next. You know, he was having a successful campaign in this village, Peter's village. Lots of people coming to the door, lots of people getting delivered, lots of people getting healed. Town square full. Exciting, exciting. His disciples probably thought, this is it! But Jesus was wise. He knew that even when you're experiencing what you think this is it, you got to check that with the Lord. You need to pray. You need to pray. If you want power to keep flowing, if you want the healing and the miracles to keep flowing, you have to pray. So Jesus didn't just think, oh, this is going great. Thanks, Lord. I'll sleep in. It says before dawn, he got up and went out on his own to pray. Disciples woke up. Where is he? They go and find him. He's been praying. The meetings, people are already waiting for him. The crowds are gathered already in the village. They get to Jesus. Jesus, everyone's looking for you. Should we start the meeting? No. I've been praying. I've heard the next bit. We've got to go to the other towns. We're going to go to the other towns around Galilee. You might have walked up the hills to pray. And as he's turned around, some of us have prayed on those hills, those very hills. Mighty privilege. And you can, from those hills, you can see the other towns around Galilee. You might have been up praying, seeing those hills, seeing those other towns. And then the Holy Spirit, the Father, speaks to him. Go to the other towns as well. Do the same in the other towns. Go preach in those towns. Heal in those towns. Cast out demons in those towns. That's how you get the next part for your life. Jesus gets a vision in a dream. Gets the next bit of the vision unfolded. Otherwise, without prayer, you'd just stay in that village. Wouldn't you? Oh, the meetings are fizzling down a bit. Now you need to pray all the time. Jesus prayed, so do you think you need to pray? And I need to pray. We need to pray all the time. Prayer is a gift of the Holy Spirit. He helps us pray in our weakness. He's the one who helps us pray. He inspires you to pray. He gives you the words. And he teaches you to pray. So is that exciting? So should we pray now? Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here with us. You are a great teacher and counselor. We need to hear from you and not me. We need to hear from the word of Jesus, and we need to hear from heaven right now. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you. Come and teach us to pray. Inspire us to pray. Make us like Abraham. Make us like these men and women of God who prayed and saw the answers to their prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's read the Bible, Genesis chapter 18. I've got my glasses today, so I'll be able to read it, hopefully. Let's open our hearts to this. This is, listening to the Bible is as important as hearing the sermon. Do you know that? It's as important and as powerful. Easily. Paul said to Timothy, give yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Because when the Bible is read, when the Word of God is read, it is, something happens to you. So you ready? You listening? Have your heart open to God? The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to the tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now that you've come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said. Get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that they'd prepared, and he set these before them. And they ate while he stood near them under a tree. Where is your wife, Sarah? They asked. There, in the tent, he said. Then the Lord said to him, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent. I'm sure no one's ever done this. Listened outside the door. Which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So she laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I didn't laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I've chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he's promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I'll go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." Two men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 people in it, righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I'll spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I'm nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. There's Abraham. There's Abraham learning how to pray, speaking to the Lord, bargaining him down. Feels like he's bargaining him down, and he is. I was in Spain a few months ago with Paul King, and we walked along the front of the sea next in Alicante, and there's a guy selling sunglasses. I wanted to get Luke some sunglasses. I said, these African guys, I said, "How much for those sunglasses?" He said, €20. And from the side of me, Paul jumps in and says, "No, mate, 5. And I thought, and the guy said, €15. Paul said, "No, mate, 5. He said, €10. Paul said, 5. The guy said, "No, €5. That's out of bargain. It's also out of prayer. Abraham learns that you can actually speak to God when you have God's respect. Abraham did. When you have the ear of God, Abraham did. When you have fellowship with God, Abraham did. Then you have tremendous influence with God. And if you have influence with God, you can do and change anything. Abraham had favor with God. So do you. Only yours is better. Because your favor is a gift through Jesus Christ. Abraham had the respect of God. So do you. Only yours is more. Because as you sat there this morning, you're wearing the righteousness of Jesus Christ as a gift. Every good and perfect thing Jesus ever did and was is all over you. That's how God sees you. That's how you actually are. The gift of righteousness is reality. Forget how you see yourself. Forget what the devil whispers to you or how other people see you. The only thing that matters on this earth is how God sees you. And when you become a Christian and are born again, you receive a new heart, a new nature. You receive the gift of righteousness. The New Testament calls it over and over again, the righteousness of God. You are as righteous as God.
I don't feel as righteous as God.
I don't care. If you're a born-again Christian, and you might not be, if you're not, welcome to church. Come to know Jesus and be saved. When you're saved, then you are a born-again Christian, and you are as righteous as God, because it's God's righteousness, the God Jesus Christ, his righteousness that you're actually wearing. Understand that, or you'll never be able to pray. You'll never be able to really enjoy fellowship with God. You'll always be looking at your sins and your performance and your character and so on. And so you'll never have the confidence to stand before God. God loves you. You're accepted in his beloved Son. You're washed in the blood of Jesus. You are a righteous person. Thank you, God. I say it many times a day, usually in the morning when I need to tell myself it. Thank you, Jesus, that I am a righteous person. I am a blessed person. I'm a healed person. I'm a favored person. I might feel terrible, but don't tell yourself that. Tell yourself the truth, and then yourself ends up believing it. Takes a few minutes sometimes on a bad morning. But it's because it's the truth, your emotions and head catch up with it. It is actually the truth. You know, Larry said about touching that little thing and being in another reality. The other reality is the actual reality. You're in Jesus Christ right now. You're part of him. You're connected to him. You're loved by him. If your eyes could open this morning, you'd see yourself surrounded by thousands of angels and the presence of God and the kingdom of God. You would. It's where you are. It's how you live. They're all rooting for you. Everyone's shouting for you. Come on. It's your turn on stage for these 70 years. Come on. We did it. You can do it. You got the righteousness of Jesus. Pray and see awesome things happen. Why do we pray? Here's why we pray. We pray, first of all, to have fellowship with God. This is the most important. That's probably not true. This is a very important type of prayer. To have fellowship with God. Did you notice in this amazing story that these three visitors come, these three mysterious visitors, that some Bible scholars believe are the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some Bible scholars believe it's Jesus and two angels. Whatever you believe, it's God. It's God visiting Abraham, coming for a visit. He doesn't just go to Sodom. He's going to Sodom to see if it's as evil as he's heard. He finds out that it is as evil as he's heard, and he does destroy it. The city and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. In fact, as the Dead Sea's receding now, and from the Dead Sea is coming some of the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah. What a testimony to the world. The Dead Sea, Sodom and Gomorrah was utterly destroyed. Incidentally, he didn't find 10 righteous people there. Abraham should have kept praying, which we'll get to in a minute. Abraham settled. And we can very often do that with our prayers. Ah, I think I've done it. No, you haven't done it till you've done it. Abraham should have battled it down to no one. And he could have saved many. The whole, God could have just had mercy and changed the place. Is that possible to God? Can God do anything? Did he do that with Nineveh? Yes. Nineveh was just as evil as Sodom and Gomorrah, but the people fasted and prayed and cried out to God for 40 days. Jonah should have been doing that, but he wasn't. But the people did it and God heard their prayer. God hears prayer and fasting and repentance and responded to the prayer and said, that's it, judgment is over. Thank you for praying. Abraham could have done that, but he stopped short, which is a great lesson for us. He also had tremendous influence and power, which is also a great lesson for us. But the first thing he had, which is so, so, so important, is fellowship with God. He ministered to the Lord first. This is what you need to do every day of your life, and me. It's to minister to the Lord first. That's why we worship and pray first. That's why we sing praise to God, give glory and thanks to the Lord first. Before you have your own needs met, before you pray for the world, before you go for your miracle, you minister to the Lord first. Give him praise, thanks, love. Give him welcome. Receive him. Receive his presence. Minister to the Lord first. That's what you meant to do. And the Lord came by and came to his tent, and he starts serving him straight away. Please, be refreshed. Have some water. Wash your feet. Sarah, cook some bread. Guys, sort out some meat. Let's get some curds. You eat. You eat. Abraham, are you eating? No, I'm not eating. You're eating. Let me minister to you. Look, it's a beautiful picture of fellowship with the Lord, isn't it? Think the Lord will come and have some food at your house? Do you think the Lord will come and have some food at your house? Would Jesus come to your house? Yes. He would change your house if he did. Change your life if he did. And actually, he does. So it can. The Lord loves you and wants fellowship with you. God wants fellowship with you. Do you understand? He actually wants it. He really loves you, likes you. And God has a great need in himself. You know, many theologians would say that's not true, but it is true. If you only look at God theologically, you're going to make a great mistake. In one sense, God has no need in himself because he's God, but he does have a need in himself because he's love. And love has a great need for fellowship. If you love your wife or your husband, you'll want to be with them and you'll want to speak to them and you'll want to open your heart to them. If you love your family, you'll want to be with them. If you love your friends, you'll miss them and want to be together and long to get to Costa and have a chat and laugh and just live together. That's what love does. God is love. And he has a tremendous need in himself for fellowship. He doesn't just want to be treated like an experience. Imagine if you treat your wife just like an experience. She wouldn't stay very long, would she? No, your wife's a person. So is the Holy Spirit. He's not just there to do your washing when you sin. Or supply your needs. Can you put something in my bank account, please? He's a person. He's the most awesome person in the universe. And a real person in your life. A person. There's God the Father, the person, God the Son, and today's Pentecost Sunday, isn't it? So today we should absolutely celebrate and love the Holy Spirit. Receive him and love him and worship him as a real person. A real person needs speaking to. A real person needs listening to. A real person needs embracing, touching, relying upon, so does Holy Spirit. Every day we need to say, Holy Spirit, every moment of every day we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Lord, without you I'm sunk, without you I'm empty, without you I've got nothing. Holy Spirit, please be the deepest love in my life, closest friend. Holy Spirit, forgive me for treating you like an experience. Forgive me for just ignoring you or grieving you with my sin. Forgive me, Holy Spirit. Let's go together, Holy Spirit. Let's live life together. If you're a Christian, you have to get used to living your whole life out of God. God needs to become the center of your whole life. And every day and every moment, you're living with God and in God. That's Christianity, actually. It's sort of scary in one way because it's so different to normal life. But he's so good that that makes up for the scariness and the sense of weirdness about it. And the Holy Spirit is a real person and he wants fellowship with you. So we need to pray every day to walk with God, know God, and out of that, if you minister to the Lord first, then great joy comes into your life. And strength comes into your life. And visions and dreams will come and all sorts of things. He'll show you and speak to you. You'll have fellowship with him. The Holy Spirit's called the Counselor. The Counselor! A good Counselor Well, Jesus was a good counselor, for starters. He was called Wonderful Counselor as well. He was called Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. Jesus was an awesome counselor. So if ever the disciples, if the 12 were sad or scared or lonely or tempted or down or anything, they knew exactly what to do. They went to Jesus. Jesus, yes, Peter. We've got 5 minutes. Yeah, Peter, come on, what was it? Just really struggling with James and John. They just don't get me. And Jesus was a fantastic counselor. He listened to Peter's heart. He knew Peter. He understood. He had a vision and dream for Peter's life. He could just speak that to him. That's a good counselor. Good counselor speaks the truth into you and sets you free by seeing you as you are in God. And they listen to you and love you. They just accept you as you are. Unconditional love. That's a good counselor. Jesus was a good counselor. But they had a problem with disciples. He was going. I'm going back to the Father. But don't worry. I'm going to send another person. Fantastic person. He's with me. He's in me. He's with you. And he's going to be in you. It's the Holy Spirit. He will be your counselor. Brothers and sisters, you have a counselor. The Holy Spirit. Before you run to your friend or your wife or your brother or anyone, turn to him first. Every time I lose my peace, every time I turn to the Holy Spirit straight away, try and get it back from the Holy Spirit. Try and get joy back, peace back. Because you can't live the Christian life without peace and joy. If you lose your peace for a reason, and so you go to him and Lord, talk it out with him. Lord, I'm not feeling too good. Holy Spirit, come and fill me with your joy. Come and touch my heart. Come and lift me up. Or with your temptation, or with your fear, or with you just feeling bad about yourself. Whatever it is, he is your counselor. Holy Spirit. Anyone love the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We need you. We need you. We need to pray and be with you and minister to you first. It's so important. We can get so busy and into even Christian things. But actually, without the Holy Spirit, we don't have power. Actually, have very little power to do those Christian things. If you want power, you have to have fellowship with God. You have to walk with God. Be friend of God. Abraham was called a friend of God because he had fellowship with God every day. He liked God. Enjoyed being with God. That's what we need to be with the Holy Spirit. We can do. This is not beyond your reach. This is your life in God. This is how to have a victorious Christian life. It's how to become a great leader and a great influence of other people. It's through God. Only God can. You've got nothing to give yourself, have you? I mean, you're very nice, but people need God. They want God. They're looking for God. So be filled with God. You've got something to give. I have nothing to give you, Nessa. I'm filled with God every day. Nothing. I can't lead this church. I can't lead the team. I can't lead myself. I can't walk out Tesco without God. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. And I'm not all the time. No one is all the time. How? So what's the answer? Prayer. We pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We pray, we pray, we pray. We're being filled, we're being filled, we're being filled. Every day, brothers and sisters, pray. You need to learn to pray. We need to learn to pray. You can pray all night. Jesus prayed all night. You can pray all morning. You can pray all afternoon. You can pray for an hour. You can pray for half an hour. You can pray for 10 minutes. You can pray for 2 minutes. You can pray for 30 seconds on your knees, and it can change your whole day. We need to pray. Have fellowship with God. Invite God into everything as we're cleaning the bath, as we're doing that. Holy Spirit's with us, changing the baby. The Holy Spirit loves babies. He's not scared of nappies. He absolutely loves Tesco for some reason. He actually loves you, you see. He loves you and your life. He's in your life. Don't ignore him. Fellowship. Fellowship prayer is absolutely essential. And out of that comes ministry. As the church leaders in Antioch were fasting and praying and ministering to the Lord, they were getting together to have a sort of missionary meeting. They were going to plan some missions. But as they got together, first they thought, well, first let's minister to the Lord. So they did a bit of prayer and fasting. They were worshipping and praising the Lord and ministering to the Lord. As they were ministering to the Lord, the Holy Spirit speaks, you see. Separate from me, Paul and Barnabas. They're the ones who are going, and I'll show them what to do. Oh, end of planning meeting. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's where the kingdom comes and the church grows. It starts with ministering to the Lord first. The priests in the Old Testament would go in and minister to the Lord And after they'd ministered to the Lord, sacrifices and offerings and incense and all the rest, they'd come out from the presence of the Lord and then bless the people. If you want to have a ministry for God, that's how to do it. Some of the busiest ministers. You know what? The only regret really you have in your life, as any ministry, I think, is that you just wish you'd prayed more. And the older you get, the more you realize that. It was fascinating to hear Billy Graham interviewed recently. And they said, have you got any regrets? I mean, Billy Graham regrets. He's lived this amazing life for God under the spotlight of the world. Just a perfectly awesome life. All this preaching. He said, oh yeah, definitely, big regrets. What regrets? He said, I wish I'd have preached less and prayed more. Because I'd have seen more happen. You know what? He's right. Prayer is absolute key for building our Christian personality, fellowship with the Lord, and knowing the Lord. God loves you, wants to be in your life. So, brothers and sisters, pray. Every day, every moment, pray. And then there's prayer to bless others. Abraham moves from a place of just fellowship, which is absolutely wonderful. And because of that fellowship, because he's walking with these three men, he's not rushing back. Thanks, guys. Whoosh, that's over with. Right. Sort out these flocks. No, he's not like that. He's staying in the presence of the Lord. He's walking with these guys. And as he's walking with these three men, they have a conversation together and they say, I think we should let Abraham in on what the plan is here. We're coming to assess how bad Sodom and Gomorrah is and see if it's as evil as we've heard. If it is, it can't live out its normal life. We need to step in now and destroy it. If it isn't, we'll know. But should we let Abraham know what we're doing? After all, this guy, we're going to make him a great guy. He's going to be a very great man. We should respect that. Isn't it amazing how God respects us? It's incredible, really. Respects us. Treats us with dignity. He's going to be a great guy. He's going to have a big nation. He's going to bless lots of people. He's a significant guy. Let's tell him. Yeah. Abraham, you see Sodom and these other cities in the valley. The outcry against them's come to me, and it's very great. We've come down to check it out, to see if it is as bad as we've heard. If it is, we'll know. Once Abraham has revelation, then he can pray. Once he knows what God's doing, that's the time to begin to pray, a sort of different kind of prayer. It's a prayer that's in line with the will of God and the kingdom of God. This is the kind of prayer we pray when we pray for 1,000 members here by the end of next year, where we pray for a new building, when you pray for the Spain trip, when you pray for Estonia, when you pray for the church, each other. The first kind of prayer is to do with you, which is essential. Unless you get filled, unless you get healed, unless you get blessed, you've got nothing to give anyway. So pray the prayer of fellowship first with God. Worship God, know God, be filled, be healed, be forgiven, be cleansed, to understand your righteousness. And then from there, you can move into a different kind of prayer, which is praying for other people. And you'll pray with authority and power, because the Bible says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Everyone say powerful. And everyone say effective. Powerful. Why is it powerful? Well, because God, he is a righteous man. So it's powerful. My prayers are powerful. What I ask, God hears. Wow. That's the same for all of us. That makes them very powerful. That should inspire you to want to pray. Well, I can actually change things. You can definitely change things. You can change things right now, this moment, as you open your heart and mouth to God. He will hear you. He will hear you. And that makes your prayers powerful. And effective means you get answers. It's actually, it'll have a great effect. The prayer of a righteous person. And are you righteous again? You're a righteous person, so your prayers have great effect on other people. You can bless people. You can help set people free. You can deliver people from evil. You can help them get direction, help them meet God as you pray. And you pray regularly. You know, you pray those scriptures up there, the Luke scriptures, or all the Jesus teaching on prayer when he says, you know, keep praying, don't give up. Keep praying, don't give up. That's what Jesus did. He kept praying, didn't give up. If he didn't feel he was there, he just kept praying. He prayed all night. I'm not finished. You guys go, I'll catch you up. I'm going to keep praying and I'm going to stay here. I need to pray this through. Sometimes you need to do that. When I first became a Christian, none of my family were interested. You know the story. And my dad threw me out and I had to go live in a bedsit. And they all laughed at me. They all mocked me. They were not interested in God at all. My dad had become a Catholic to marry my mum. So he'd like all this Catholic teaching, which is fine in one sense, but it trapped him in religion. He couldn't get free from that. So he was very anti anything else. Now he's me, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Weird, you know, punk rocker, which didn't help, and then thrown out. So I started to pray because I read that prayer, Luke 11. I read that teaching of Jesus, probably for the first time or second time I'd ever read it. And Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So every morning on the way to the bus station to go and meet Margaret, I would be walking down from Clifton Street in Middlesbrough downtown. Not big prayers, not long prayers, not hours on my knees. You're joking, aren't you? I'm just walking to the bus station. And Lord Jesus, you said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. So I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking for you to save my family and bring them all into the kingdom of God. Amen. That was it. But every morning, this is one of the keys to prayer, successful prayer, is just to keep going. So I'll do that every morning. And you know what? You can get discouraged, can't you, if nothing's happening. And after about 9 months or something, I was getting discouraged. And I thought, oh, this is a waste of time. I'll pray about something else instead. As soon as I thought that, my sister suddenly got interested in Christianity. Invited me and Margaret round and wanted to talk about our faith and what was happening. So I thought, oh, I'll keep praying. So I kept praying the bus station prayer every morning. And then you know the story. Very soon after that, I mean, my sister got interested to the point of coming to the meetings with her husband, Jeff. Some of you know him. They got saved. And then very soon after that, my brother, who was an alcoholic. See, all the prayers, they build up. They build up like a cloud. They build up like a cloud. They build up like a cloud. Then there's a storm. And it just blows the devil away. Right out of your family and right out of your life. And my brother, who was an alcoholic, went to one meeting. And he came to the front of that meeting, an absolute confirmed alcoholic, losing his marriage, losing his job. And the Holy Spirit came on him and he fell on the ground and he was delivered of alcoholism and he was born again and he could speak in tongues and he stood up, transformed. And his wife got saved that day. My dad, who you all know, who threw me out after that was, can I come to one of these meetings and bring my new wife, Pat? Of course you can. He comes, Paul Jannard, who was preaching that night, he goes straight forward, saved. All six of my family became Christians in about 6 months. But it took some praying every day. Not big powerful prayers, not prayers with tears. Could have been, should have been, and if they were, probably would have been faster, to be honest. But anyway, any prayer will do. You say, open your mouth and speak to God. Open your mouth and speak to God in the name of Jesus. This kind of prayer, honestly, the simpler the better. Don't get all flowery. Do that in your fellowship prayers. Oh, Lord, you're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. This is how I used to pray, this kind of prayer. And it's actually a great mistake because you get distracted from your goal. I'd always, as soon as I started praying, getting into the presence of God, I'd start going into worship, but automatically, oh, God, he's so wonderful. Look at this creation. Look at these trees. If I went for a prayer walk. It's absolutely fantastic, and I'd be back into fellowship prayer, which is absolutely beautiful if that's what you're doing. But if it's not what you're doing, if you're going to rescue your son, I mean, I have a son who's away from the Lord. He's been away from the Lord for quite a while. If I'm doing that, I'm going to rescue my son. So I have a certain type of prayer. It's really complicated. It goes like this. Rescue him. Rescue him. Jesus, rescue him. Father, rescue him. Holy Spirit, rescue him. Rescue him. Rescue him. Rescue him. In the name of Jesus, rescue him. Rescue him. That's called praying. It is. Who knows what God's going to do with my son? Yes. He'll rescue him. That's how to pray effectively. You don't stop. You just keep going. You just keep going till you can't go anymore. Then you take a deep breath and trust the Lord. Doesn't have to happen tomorrow. It can happen in God's time, but it'll happen. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. If you're praying for something specific, when Jesus did this teaching, he said there was a widow who came before. He just told a story. There's a widow who came before this judge, and this judge didn't want to know. He was an evil judge. He wasn't interested. He did not want to know. So he was ignoring her. But Jesus said, the widow, and he was telling his disciples, you need to be like this widow. This is how to pray. He's teaching them to pray. They went out to fight. It says, sorry, can I just jump a second? You still with me? He said, he went to pray, and it's, I love this verse. It says, Jesus went to pray on his own, and his disciples are with him. That's phenomenal, that. It took me years to understand that. Now I understand it. That's how Jesus taught prayer. He didn't get them together. I don't do this with our leaders. Right, guys? 3 hours every day if you want to see revival in this church. You can't teach people to pray like that. You have to inspire them. How do you do that? Well, you pray, but you let them see you pray. You let them know you pray, and you let them see you pray. And as they see you pray, they have a desire for that. And their desire got, so that with Jesus said, I'm just going for a prayer. Come on, lads, you come with me. Okay, you stay there. I'm just going to pray. And he starts praying. I don't know whether Jesus spoke in tongues. Anyway, let's not go there. But anyway, Jesus prayed to his father and praying and praying and praying. The disciples are like that. Flipping heck, man, that's awesome. What? Jesus, yeah? Will you teach us to pray? Ah, yeah, glad you asked. Right, when you pray, it's a bit like this. The best way to pray, guys, is this. Imagine there's a judge who's evil and there's a widow who needs something. She needs something specific. It's just one thing she needs. Vengeance on her enemy. That's what she's praying for. Justice to do with an enemy who's abusing her and damaging her and destroying her life and maybe her family. She's a widow. She's vulnerable. She's in need. She needs a miracle. No one's going to protect her if God doesn't step in. Do you think she's desperate? To get these kind of prayers answered, you have to be desperate. And Jesus says, this widow comes to this judge, and she just gives him, I was going to say hell, she gives him trouble every day. She wears him down. She wears him down by just being there all the time. He comes out of his house, the widow's there. Give me, venge me against my enemy. Avenge me against my enemy. Avenge me against my enemy. Avenge me against my enemy. Shut up. Avenge me against my enemy. Shut up. Avenge me against my enemy. No. Avenge me against my enemy. Shut the door, guys. Shut the door. Just ignore her. Anyway, so what's the meetings today? Dear. Okay. Oh, anyone want any lunch? Yeah, come on, let's go out. Avenge me against my enemy. Avenge me against my enemy. Guys, throw her off the property, will you? Avenge me against my enemy. Avenge me against my enemy. Avenge me against my enemy. He wakes up next morning. Oh, I wonder what type of date it is. Avenge me against my enemy. Avenge me against my enemy. Avenge me against my enemy. Now, although it's funny, this is how Jesus taught you to pray. He said, look, and he's like helping them by giving them the opposite of what's true. Look, this is an unjust, evil judge. How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Jesus said, come on, guys, pray. It's just there. You can have this stuff. You can have this life. You can have this joy. You can have this power. You can overcome everything the devil will ever bring to you. Every disease, every sickness. If you pray, it's there. You can pray, you can pray, you can pray and get it done. Does this sound exciting? It is. It's a massive adventure. Of course it's work. Of course you can be lazy. But if you know what you get from prayer, you tend not to be. You get more into it and you believe it and you see the answers and it's just incredible. God gives specific answers to specific prayers, to specific people who ask. This is you. This is for you. You know, when we often, you know, I mean, I get sick of telling car stories, but we've had so many cars given off the Lord. I mean, I think it's 11 or 12 or 13 or something cars given. And we've given some cars away as well, but not 13. We've got 13 given off the Lord, different people. You know, I've only bought one car in my life. That was a mistake. No, it wasn't. It was all right. But, you know, and I learned this early on when our family was getting bigger. And I said to the kids, okay, kids, we're going to pray for a car on the way to school because, you know, I couldn't, there's too many in the back. It was illegal and wrong. And I didn't have any money. And I said, right, kids, we're going to pray and ask the Lord for a car. What type of car would you like? And this car went past. And those days, I tell you, this car was like a spaceship. It was a Previa. And when Previas first came to the UK, they were brand new and absolutely awesome. And this Previa went past and said, one like that! And I was like, oh. I had absolutely, you know, very little faith for a car like that. But I said, okay, pray for a car like that. So every day on the way to school, for a couple of months, they prayed for a car like that, a Previa. The one that went past was silver. It was, you know, nice. Had a little spoiler thing on the back, which was unusual. And then, you know, you prayed. Dad, when's the car coming? It's coming. Keep praying. And inside I'm thinking, is it coming? Should I get a loan? Should I ask someone? Is it coming? This is a genuine need. Is it coming? And then someone asked me to do an Alpha course in Dickens. You know, another big God story. You know, go there and do this Alpha course for all these executive guys. And they absolutely loved it, and quite a few of them got saved. Russell was one of the ones who got saved, and a few of them didn't as well. And afterwards, they absolutely loved me. And afterwards, I was coming out one day, opening the door, just looking at Home House Prison, praying another prayer. Lord, I'd love to do Alpha in Home House Prison. Within 6 months, we were in Alpha in Home House Prison then, over and over again. But as we opened the door there, this guy said to me, you don't need a car, do you, Martin? I said, yeah, why? He said, we've got one round the back, one of the old, one of the executives' cars. It was in like the carpool and they're not using it anymore. They're using it to carry wood in. You'd be interested in it. I said, what is it? He said, it's Previa. I said, yes. He got a Previa given. They were carrying wood in it. It was an awesome car. Top of the range. Two sunroofs. Come on. Silver. Little spoiler on the back. Exactly the same as the kids had asked for in the car. You imagine what that does for the kids when you pull that up outside. Kids! Ah, oh, prayer works. It works. I read about a woman just recently who she had a brain tumour and was blind, gone completely blind with it, and was almost totally deaf. And she wanted to pray for healing. She said to her daughter, I don't know how to pray, but I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. She was lying in hospital bed. They gave her no percentage of chance of survival at all. And she said, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer, but I'm going to pray it 10,000 times. That's a lot of times. I found it fascinating, this story, because she didn't say 10 times or 1,000 times. She said 10,000 times. I think that kind of determination. She said to her daughter, sit down while I do it and write down every time I do it because I want to make sure I do 10,000. It took her 6 hours. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. 6 hours. Our Father, who art... How many is that? That's 8,000, Mum. Do you want to have a break? No. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be... 9,999 times she prayed it ill. And at the end of the last amen, this is the truth, this happened. Bang! She's instantly healed. Her eyes were opened, her ears popped open, the doctors ran in. She was totally healed. 10,000 times she said, and 10,000 times she did it, and on the 10,000th prayer, bang! And that made sense to me. Because it's nothing magical about the number 10,000. What is awesome is the vision and faith to pray 10,000, the determination to really do that, and the endurance to do it, and the heart to do it, and the desire to do it. God reads that. That releases tremendous power, the kingdom of God. She was covered with the anointing power of God and totally healed. Are you ready for a Yongyi Chow story? You might have noticed that during this series, I've done a Yongyi Chow story every time. That's deliberate. Because Abraham's a man of faith and growth. And the Full Gospel Church in Korea is the biggest church in the world. And some of their stories will become like our stories. So for this Abraham series, I've been reading a lot of Yongyi Chow's books. And one day, Yongyi Chow was speaking at a businessman's convention. His wife rang him, distraught. She said, "Our son, you have to come home now. He's in hospital. He's been poisoned. When he got back home, his son was back home. They took him to the hospital and sent him home to die. Some evil person had poisoned this food van near the school. 30 children died instantly, and many others were dying. Yongyi Chow's little son was one of them dying. The doctor said the poison's gone all over his body. There's absolutely no chance he could live. It's a very deadly poison. You need to take him home." And Yongyi Chow got back to the bedroom, and his little son was there, naked, covered in sweat, saying, "Daddy, help me, Daddy, help me." And he was absolutely devastated, like any dad would be. And he said, "I couldn't pray. I was so devastated." And he said, "I started to think, why, God, why, my little boy? Why would anyone do this evil thing? How could you let this happen to our family?" He said, "But then I stopped myself. I realized that kind of prayer wasn't going to do anything." He said, "My wife, I'm going to pray for him. And he started to pray and cry out to God in the room. During that time, he died, the little boy. He stopped breathing, his eyes sunk in his head, and he was cold. And his wife was absolutely distraught. Yongyi Chow was absolutely distraught. He felt he was dying. He was lying on the bedroom floor crying to God, "God, please, please help him." He said, "I felt like my prayers were going nowhere. Getting nowhere." He said, I didn't feel any faith. I just felt terrible. And every time I looked at my little boy's body, I was just absolutely heartbroken. So I kept closing my eyes and not looking at his body and praying, "God, please, please." He said, "I was absolutely exhausted with sorrow and grief." So I prayed for 1 hour. And I looked at the clock and I thought, "There's only an hour. I can't keep going. But he kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. 2 hours. He kept praying. His wife and relatives were saying things near the room, and he was dead. He kept praying. And as he went past the 3 hour mark, his son opened his eyes. And then he vomited a lot of blue stuff on the bed. And then he turned around to his dad and said, "Dad, say hello to Jesus." And Yongyi Chow was in total shock. And he thought he was like still delirious or something. And he said, son, you alive? And he said, "Dad, say hello to Jesus." He said, "Where's Jesus?" He said, "He stood at the end of the bed right next to you now." And Yongyi Chow couldn't see anything, but he turned around and just got down and thanked Jesus and cried and thanked Jesus. And his son said, "You can stop now, Dad, he's gone." His son was totally healed of that poison. And when he told his daddy later what happened, he said, "Daddy, it was terrible. I was in agony and I couldn't breathe. I was in such terrible pain. And then all of a sudden, I was filled with amazing joy. And Jesus was there. And I ran and hugged him. I've never felt so alive and happy. And he was loving me and kissing me. And I said, 'Come on, Jesus, let's go home.' And he said, 'No, son, not yet. Your daddy won't let us. He's praying.'" And now he said, "After a little while, I said to him, I had this, such a longing to go to Jesus' house. He said, 'Come on, Jesus, let's go home.' Jesus said, 'Not yet, son. Your daddy won't let us go. It's how powerful prayer is. He's praying. And then the third time the little boy said, Jesus, let's go home now. And he said, no, not yet, son. You're going to have to go back to your daddy because he's not ready to let you go. And he woke up. Prayer is powerful. We need to pray and pray and pray and pray and never give up. And you know what? You have to learn that kind of prayer. We'll learn it together on these morning prayer boot camp things we're going to do. We'll learn it together in the prayer meetings. We'll learn it together from each other. You're learning it right now. Don't wait for that. Get praying. Pray the fellowship prayer of being in the presence of God, knowing God. And then pray for other people. And pray for a breakthrough and revival. And the more you pray and the more you receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the more you realize how much you need to pray. You know, grace doesn't let you off praying. You pray to receive more revelation of grace. You pray to receive more of the Holy Spirit. You know, we were brought up praying quite a lot, I think, me and Margaret. Didn't realize we were, but I think compared to other people, we think we prayed a lot when we were younger, and we pray a lot more now. And in the middle, we just prayed when we could, I think. But we need to pray. You know, people have said to me, oh, you love to pray, don't you? I say, yeah, like a drowning man loves to swim. Because without prayer, I sink. Without God, I sink. And every day I wake up with 9 kids, 3 grandchildren, you guys, a promise of revival, a load of leaders and their families to pray for. And you know what? Without God, you can't do it. And you certainly can't grow it and can't see revival. You won't see revival yourself or be part of it unless you're actually on the wave. On the beach, you'll just be watching it and catching up with it all the time. But if you want to play a major part in it, and you do, don't you? That's why you're sat in this room. That's why God's called you into the early phase of this church. Then we need to pray. Because we need to have every day peace of God, joy of God, wisdom of God, and everything else that we need. Let's stand. Well done for listening for so long. I've got one more week of this series, and then you can enjoy listening to someone else for change. Why don't you just take the hand of the person next to you? Let's pray together as a body. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're our loving God. We thank you, Father, that as Esther said today, we have a Father who've loved us so much, Father. You gave us your only Son. You gave your only Son to death. That's how much you love us. What an amazing love. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and gave us yourself, your precious blood, the gift of righteousness. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us, for being the head of the church, the Lord of life, our own personal best friend, our deepest love. We're so sorry, Lord, when we grieve you, when we don't respect you as a person. We want to treat you as a person. We want fellowship with you. Right now, we just open the tent of our heart and life. We open the tent of our home. We put the kettle on, get cooking some food. Lord, please come and stay. Jesus said, behold, I knock at the door. If anyone hears me, I'll come in and eat with them. We'll have fellowship together. I'll come and be part of your life. Lord, that's what we want. And we ask you that you would give us a strong desire to pray. And focused prayer, determined prayer. I pray, Lord, we ask you that you would teach us how to pray like a marathon prayer through the night, how to pray a 10K prayer on those 4-hour prayer meetings that we pray all day. We pray you teach us how to pray like a 5K prayer run of praying for a couple of hours when we pray our prayer meetings. We pray you teach us how to pray for an hour, teach us how to pray for half an hour. Teach us how to pray, really pray for 10 minutes effectively. Teach us how to pray in the car, doing housework. Lord, help us be praying to you. Help us be crying out to you. Make us like that widow who knew what she wanted. Brothers and sisters, before we finish, right now, Know what you want. Don't be fuzzy with your prayer. Know what you want. Is the car silver? What is the issue for you right now? There's far more important things than cars. And then determine to go after that goal. Don't be distracted. And you'll see tremendous results because God answers prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Give someone a hug. Thank you for being so patient. Bless you.